Let's open up our Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter number 39. Genesis chapter 39, as we continue on with our PG-13 series here and talking about parenting teens. And so one of the things that I want to encourage you, because I know that in this room, there's only a small amount of you, and watching online, there's only a small amount of you who are actively parenting teens. But every single person here, every single person watching online, you have teenagers in your life. And so what we want to do is we want to take these things and you apply them specifically to your own life. If you're getting ready to raise teenagers, kind of put some of these things in your back pocket and have them ready to go. And last week, we just talked about the fact from Moses' birth, how that you were made for this. Like, you were made for your teenagers. And that's encouraging to me. Because even though I've worked with teenagers for over 20 years, that's not quite the same as parenting teenagers. And I still have some things coming up. I'm going to use the B word, boys. We got boy issues we're going to start dealing with. And can I be honest? You girls, plug your ears for just a second, because you don't need to know this about your dad. I'm scared. Like, I'm scared when the boys start coming around. So some of you boys are in this, teen boys are in this room, stay away, okay? So one of the things we want to encourage you is that, hey, you were made for this. Like, you can do this. I can do this. And if you're here in this room and you have teenagers in your life, hey, listen, you were put in their life for a reason. You were put in their life to have an impact. And we talked about Pharaoh's daughter. Some of you in here have fostered children. Some of you have adopted children. Just because they're not biologically yours doesn't mean you can't have a great impact. Pharaoh's daughter named the greatest leader that Israel has ever had. That is something I think that is so amazing. And so you were made for this. I was made for this. Now, we want to kind of, over the next couple of weeks, talk about some practical things that are important for us to accomplish as we parent our teenagers. And this morning, we're going to talk about building trust between you and your teenager. It's important for our teenagers to be able to trust us. It's important for us to be able to trust them. Because remember, the ultimate goal of me being a parent is not just to protect them and shield them from everything. Okay, it is to equip them to be able to go out into their world and make an impact for Jesus. That is my mission as a parent. So in order to do that, that means letting the leash go a little bit further. That means extending trust and responsibility and all those things. And, you know, you think about teenagers, and I remember when I was a teenager, I wanted full control of my life, and I wanted my parents to trust me completely. Now, some of you are laughing. My dad's laughing because he's like, I know you, like what you were as a teenager. There's no way they should have trusted you.
He was a terrible teenager.
So, but that's the way we teenagers feel, right? And that's natural because they're growing up, they're becoming adults, and we want them to be able to, like, move out of our house eventually when you're 30. Yeah. When you're 30, we move out and get married and start a life. That's the goal, right? And so we want to work on building that trust. We're in Genesis chapter number 39. We're going to look at just 4, 5, and 6 here. For those of you that aren't familiar, maybe you're in the room and you're not familiar with the life of Joseph. Maybe you're watching online, you're not very familiar with Joseph. Joseph's brothers hated him and sold him into slavery down to Egypt. A man called Potiphar buys Joseph to be his slave. And we pick up in verse number 4, and it says this, "And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him an overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And when I read this portion of scripture, I'm totally amazed. First of all, I want you to see like the amount of trust Potiphar had in Joseph. Like, he trusted him so much, it tells us that Potiphar had no idea how much stuff he had. He did not keep track of it. He trusted Joseph with everything. He said, hey, except for whatever sat right in front of him, that's all he knows about what he has. He trusts Joseph with everything else. But can I tell you something? That trust did not happen overnight. Joseph did not just walk into the house and immediately have everything turned over to him. In verse number 4, it tells us that he served him. And we have no idea how long that process took. But Joseph just started serving him. And over the course of time, see, we read this one verse and think it just happened. It didn't just happen. It was over the course of time, as Joseph was faithful, as he proved himself trustworthy, then he was granted more trust until finally he had complete trust. And when I think about this, this is quite a lot of trust, to trust somebody completely with everything. And I would imagine there's very few people in your life that you would say, you know what, I trust them completely. I could tell them anything, and I know it's safe. I could hand them all the passwords to everything I have, bank accounts included, and I know it's all safe. There's probably few people you have in your life that you trust that much. How many of you have somebody in your life you trust that much? I trust them completely. Okay, good. We should have people in our life like that. Now, I want to know who they are. You cannot say husband and wife. So I cannot say Lysandra. If you can't trust the person you're married to with everything, and I know this is kind of a joke, but if you can't trust them with everything, you have some things to work on. Okay? And if that is true, side note, no joking. If that is true, that you cannot trust the person you're married to with everything, I want to encourage you to reach out to my wife and I, and we can help you deal with some of those issues. So you should be able to trust that person completely. If you cannot, then you need some work. So I want to know who that person is, but you can't say who you're married to. So maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's some other relative. I'll leave other relatives on the table. Okay? Who wants to share with us? Who's the person you trust with everything? Patty. Dodie Olson. Her friend Dodie. Okay, good. Good to have friends like that. Who do you trust with everything? Yeah, Lisa. So she's got three friends. Cindy, Sarah Beth, Jessica. Complete trust. She is going to now text you the passwords to all her bank accounts. They already have them. Wow, see, that is good friends. You ladies are awesome. Okay. Yeah, Marilyn. Their son, Bob Jr., right? All right, so their son, yes. All right, good. Mom, Abigail, Sophia. You know who she did not say. Anybody else pick up on that? Like, that stings a little. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, Jim. Any one of their three kids. And it's good to be able to trust your kids like that. I don't trust you quite that much yet. Okay? When you're as old as their kids in, you know, a little while, I'll trust you that much, hopefully. Anybody else? You want to just say, who do we, yeah. All right, Pammy says her mom and her friend Alicia. So we ought to have those people that we trust. And I do have a few people in my life that I would trust with absolutely anything. So Dusty and Ashley Beasley. Like, I would trust them with absolutely anything and know that it's safe. I can tell them anything. I can give them access to anything in my life. And I know that it is safe with them. I give them control to watch over my kids. you know, what better recommendation can you give than that? So, and they survived Midnight Mania and had a great time. So thank you, Dusty and Ashley, for that. We appreciate what you're doing with all of our teenagers. But that's who I trust. What about you?
I have a lot of people in my life that I trust that much, for sure. And I'm thankful. I'm very blessed with that. But the two people that come to my mind are my mom and my sister. I can give them access to anything. I know I can trust them with that. I can also trust them with my secrets. And there's two sides of trust with secrets. One is that they won't tell. And the other is that they won't judge you too harshly when they hear the truth about what's actually happening in your mind. And so I know that I can trust them with everything. And so I'm very thankful.
I don't trust either of them.
That's because you've broken trust with them and they can't trust you. Things that you've posted from their accounts. Okay. We won't go down that
route. I've proven not to be trustworthy with your phone, so
yes.
Don't leave your phone unlocked near me.
It's a bad idea. But being able to trust someone is a really huge blessing, and it's also a blessing to be trusted by someone. That's an honor for somebody to say that they trust you. And the other thing to remember, too, is that trust is earned, but it's also given.
So one of the things I tell our girls all the time is, I trust you until you give me a reason not to trust you. So I'm going to trust you. Don't break that trust. And right now we leave our girls home alone and trust that they will obey the rules that we've established in our home. If they break that trust by disobeying rules, then they won't be allowed to stay home alone anymore. We'll have to find you girls babysitters. How about that? Emphasis on the word baby. But right now, we trust them to watch TV without us. Now, we mentioned last week some of the things that they do. If it's a show they've not watched before, they will text me and say, hey, can you check this out? And that is a trust builder, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. That builds trust between me and them, that they're not just going and watching whatever, that they're checking with me. And so as long as they don't break that trust, then that trust will remain there and will continue to build on it. And so if they watch stuff that I don't approve of, then they won't be trusted to watch TV without us anymore. And so you get the point of what I'm trying to make, right? Give your kids trust until they give you a reason not to.
Okay, so here's a good lesson for you teenagers in the room or watching online. Teenagers, if your parents trust you, don't ruin it. Don't break the trust that they've bestowed upon you.
Don't ruin it.
Because if you break that trust, you also lose freedom. And we all want freedom, right? I think about what Proverbs 20:11 says. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. You're known by what you do with the trust you're given, teenagers. So when your parents trust you to have your cell phone, use it properly. Keep it in the rules that you've been given. When they allow you to watch TV when they're not around, keep the rules. Don't ruin the trust that you've already been given and therefore ruin your freedom, okay? Now, here's the other side of that. Parents in the room, we have to also be careful because giving trust also requires paying attention to what's done with the trust you've given. Okay, so I can't just tell my kids, my teenagers, all right, you guys can watch TV because I trust you. You haven't given me a reason not to trust you. And then I bury my head in the sand. And they just watch whatever they want for their entire teenage life. No, I have to pay attention to what they're watching. I can go on, thankfully, there's a lot of ways to go on to the apps and see what your kids are doing online with their cell phones, with their television, with their computers. And we should be doing that as parents. We have a responsibility to check up on them. And let me encourage you to check up on them when they don't expect it. Okay? You can't be like, I'm going to be checking your devices later today. Have them ready for me. They will have them ready for you, okay? So make sure that you're giving them some little surprise check-ins, okay?
And I know some parents who are like you invade their privacy.
No.
And go on their phone. First of all, it's not their phone. And I've told my kids this. Like, I bought that phone. It's my phone. Yeah. I'm letting you use it.
Amen.
So anytime I want to go on my phone, I can go on my phone.
Same thing about their bedroom. They didn't pay for that house. We paid for it. well, mostly him, but but seriously, like their room, that's our room, we let them live in it, right? So they understand that we have the right to go into their room. Now, we still give them respect, we'll knock, we, you know, there's respect there, but yet they're living in our home. And that's okay, and that's understood. But we have a responsibility as parents to know what they're doing with the trust and the freedom that we are given to we give to them. So it's like any law that all of us are told to follow, right? Speed limits. You are going to speed as fast as you can, feeling safe, unless you know that there's a police officer around, right?
Or a camera sitting on the interstate in that one section. Like, yeah. We all do it. We speed up, and then, oh, it's coming. And what I love now is if I have my GPS on my phone will tell me now. Like, there's a camera coming up. Check your speed. And I'm like, okay,
yeah.
I'm going to check it.
Yeah. But all of us, we need to know that the rules are being enforced. Otherwise, we will take our freedom and run with it. That's human nature. That's why we have police. That's why we have law enforcement and military and everything else. We have to have these laws enforced. We have to be checked up on, including in our speed and our taxes. Have you ever thanked God for the IRS?
No.
Praise the Lord. He's given us a helper to be honest, right? And you are the helper for your child to be honest. You have to watch to see what they are doing. And this is a quote from my brother 2 weeks ago. You got to be careful what you say in conversation to us. You may end up hearing it quoted up here. So he did not give me permission to quote this, but I know he won't care. So my brother, he has almost three teenagers. He has two teenagers and almost a teenager. And this is what he said to me, I think it was like 2 weeks ago. He said, I tell my kids, I trust you, but I don't trust you. And I was like, okay. And he said it's because he was a teenager, and he remembers how he was as a teenager. And so he trusts them, but, you know, there's, like, kind of one eye on them, right? So we trust them, but we have to pay attention to what they're doing with that trust and with that freedom.
So maybe you're not ready to give a lot of trust to your teen. Start somewhere, okay? Give them an opportunity to earn trust. And once again, the idea is to get them to a place where they can make it on their own. And we have to build to that. So we don't just start by giving our daughters complete trust over everything in their life. Okay, that would be very foolish. We start with small things. Even with Joseph, those verses that we read, okay, he wasn't just given complete access to everything in the house. It started with, hey, this is the task I want you to do. I'm trusting you to do it. Follow through with it. So we start small in just giving them opportunities to build trust, giving them a little bit of freedom and see what they do with it. So one of the things you might do is just say, you know what, I'm going to give you an opportunity to show me that you're responsible. So you may go out with your friend, your group of friends for a couple hours. You can go there, spend some time. I want you to come straight home. And this is the time I want you home. Okay? Then you let them go. And see what happens. And if they stay within the boundaries you've set, great. Praise them for it. We ought to be praising our kids for every good thing that they do. So if they keep that trust, then we praise them for it. And there's times where my daughters have texted me about watching a show or doing something, and I have texted them back, hey, it's good that you just ask me and not just do whatever it is you want to do. That builds trust. I'm proud of you for that.
And I even think about some little areas where we've given a little bit of trust to see what they're going to do would be things, something as simple as, okay, we're heading over to church. I want you to come in a half an hour. In a half an hour, you should walk through those doors. Are they going to do it? Are they going to be trustworthy? And if they are, which thankfully, most of the time, they do walk in the doors right at the right time. And then they get, oh, good job. You're here on time. Thanks for being here. Great work, you know. And some reward that trust that they have, they've proven trustworthy, reward that with some praise, with some thanks.
And some more trust. So yeah. if they follow through, hey, give them more trust. The goal is to be able to get to a place where you can trust them completely as they become adults. Now, until they turn 18, and then maybe even a little afterward, I won't give them complete 100% trust. They might have 99.9 until they actually leave the house and live somewhere else. But that's what we're trying to work towards. So the more that they keep that trust, the more trust that we will extend to them. But if they break the parameters, okay, and then we sit down and we talk about the fact, listen, you broke trust. Like, I was expecting you to be home at this time, and you were not home at this time. I was expecting you to be in this location. That's where you told me you were going, but you weren't there. You were over somewhere else. And so we talk about the fact, listen, you broke trust, and now it's going to be some time before you're going to be trusted again. And that's true in all relationships, whether it's as a parent teen, whether it's as friends, whether it's as husband and wife, whatever the relationship is, if you break trust, it takes time to build that back up again. Trust is so valuable, and we need to teach them the value of trust and how important that is. And if they break it, you know what? They're not going to be extended the same amount of trust. So what we might do is the next time I'm going to extend trust, but the parameters are going to be a lot smaller. I think of what it tells us in Luke chapter number 16. In verse number 10 says this, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous riches, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" And so talks about, you see the increments here. Says, hey, if you're faithful in the least, in the small things, then more trust is going to be given, because I know that if I can trust you in the smaller things, then I can trust you with bigger things. And so one of the best things that you can learn as a child in here is don't break the trust. Don't break it.
That's right. And if you notice, when bestowing trust and freedom, make sure that you give clear, concise, very specific boundaries. Give specific expectations, okay? Don't give your teen an opportunity to come back to you later and be like, "I didn't know." That's my teen voice every time. I think that must be how I sounded as a teenager. But anyway, so you want to make sure that you set all these expectations very clear so that there is no room for them to get confused or claim confusion, right? Make sure that they understand fully exactly what you expect and their limitations. Be clear and specific with your teenager. It will help build trust, and it'll also help you to give trust. So basically, you want to eliminate any miscommunications.
So how many of you have been confused about what someone in authority expected from you? You never felt that before. Somebody in authority, you felt confused about that. I know I've been there myself. I worked for a while when I was a teenager and in my, you know, early 20s. I worked at Walmart. And they have managers over different sections of the store. And so I worked up front. I pushed carts. That's what I did. And back in the days when you actually had to push the carts, now they have the robots. I think about what sissies we are raising in our country that you have to have robots to. I'm a real man. I push carts by hand. Let's put it that way. But I would have my job that I was supposed to do, and then from time to time, they would have me do some other things in the back, inventory, all that kind of stuff, which was another manager over that section. And so there were times where I had two different managers telling me different things. And so I was not, now I loved my job. I loved the work that I did and the circumstance. I didn't have to deal with people at all. It was wonderful. I was outside most of the time. I loved it. But under those circumstances, I wanted to quit. And I was so close to quitting because it's so frustrating when you don't have all the parameters that are around you.
That's right. So we need to make sure that we are giving our kids those clear, concise limitations and expectations. Be sure also that you as a parent, and we as parents, are modeling trustworthiness to our children. The best way to teach trust is by exemplifying it, being a trustworthy person. So when you say that you'll do something, do it. When you say that you will pick them up at a certain time, be there on time to pick your child up. Show them that you are trustworthy. And of course, there are rare occasions where things come up. And that's going to happen in life, and they also need to be taught how to deal with, you know, the surprise emergency or the flat tire or whatever happens. And so we understand that sometimes you have to break a promise and it's not on purpose, but it should be rare. That shouldn't be the norm. If that's the norm, you're not a trustworthy person, and it's very difficult to teach trust if you are not trustworthy yourself. So then also, when you do have to break trust, like the emergency situation, own it. I said I would be there and I wasn't there. I'm really sorry. I wanted to be there. This is the reason that I couldn't. Make sure that you are explaining what happened. Also, make sure that you are a trustworthy confidant to your child. They should be able to tell you all their secrets and know you're not going to go blab them to all your friends or their friends or whomever else. Make sure that they can trust you with their secrets. When your teenager tells you a secret, put it in the vault, lock the thing, throw away the key, you know. It's got to be safe. I'm holding secrets for my daughters. No one will ever know them. They know that. And also, on that same note, if we are telling you a story about our children, they've already given permission to tell that. We don't tell their stories without permission, because that's another way to...
We don't tell potentially embarrassing stories without their permission. So if you hear a story that you're like, man, that could be embarrassing, if I've told it, it's because they have allowed me to tell it. And that should be true for all of us, no matter who you're talking to, whether you're the one standing up here speaking to everybody here and everybody watching online, or whether you're just having a talk with one of your friends. Those stories that could be potentially embarrassing for your child, you ought to have permission to talk about those things. Otherwise, you're breaking trust with them, and they're not going to be comfortable around you. They're not going to want to tell you stuff. They're not going to want to talk to you. So as their dad, I need to be a person that they can trust.
That's right. And so we cannot demand our children act like trustworthy, honest human beings if we are not trustworthy, honest human beings. We have to model that first.
So how many of you have had someone break your trust? Somebody's broken your trust before. Okay, we all know what that feels like. Mm-hmm. Every single person, if you know another human being, you have had somebody break your trust, and you know what that feels like. And this is going to happen in any relationship. So there's going to be times where my daughters break my trust. It's going to happen. There's going to be times, despite everything that I try to do, that I'm going to break their trust. It's going to happen. So when that happens, what happens next? What do we do? Is it just game over for them? Or, you know, we can never recover, all freedom is taken away forever? No, that's not practical. And I like what Jim said. He said, apology. And that's where it starts. It starts with owning the fact that I broke trust. It starts with them owning the fact that you broke trust. So if you're a child in here and you break your parents' trust, the first thing you need to do is own it. Man, I'm sorry, Mom and Dad. I know you expected me to be home at 10, and I wasn't home on time, and it doesn't matter why. I broke trust. I understand that. I'm sorry. As a parent, if you break your child's trust, listen, I know I shouldn't have told that story. I got carried away in the moment. I'm sorry. I broke your trust. Please forgive me. And just own it. And I'm thankful that we have a God who sets the example for us. That it's not just, hey, trust is broken and that's it. And now it's over. That's not the way that he works. God forgives and he gives opportunities to rebuild trust. Look at Psalm chapter number 78. Psalm chapter number 78, beginning in verse number 38, says, "But he," talking about God, "being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and cometh not again." And I like the fact that it tells us that one of the things he remembers is he remembers who they are. And can I tell you, parents, for just a second, sometimes we need to remember who our kids are. First of all, they're kids. Okay, they are going to break our trust. It's going to happen. You can mark it down. And in those moments, as disappointing as it is, and sometimes depending on what has happened, as infuriating as it is, we need to take some time to remember they're children. I don't care if they're 17 or 18, they're children. And so we need to remember that. And it tells us here that God remembered who these people were. He remembered, listen, they're just but dust. And because of that, he had mercy and he had compassion on them. And it tells us in verse number 39 there, "So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart." And then it says this in verse 72, and I like this. It says, "And guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." In other words, God knew who they were. He knew where they needed to be. And so he skillfully guided them to where they needed to be. And that's what we need to do as parents. Yes, my children have broken my trust. What happens is I remember who they are. I extend forgiveness. And then I skillfully guide them from where they are now to where they need to be. And so we work to rebuild that trust. Think about 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So, yes, there should be an apology. There should be forgiveness extended. And then, okay, we'll start from where we are right now. You've broken trust. We're going to have to work to rebuild it, but we are going to work to rebuild it.
And I'll give a quick story from my own life of when I had broken trust. And this is not when I was a teenager. It was when I was actually in kindergarten. And it's such a funny story to think back to now, but it was a very traumatic moment in my life.
Kindergarten was the last time she broke trust with anyone.
No, it is not. But it's the one that I remember as far as with me and my mom. And she won't even remember this. I guarantee she has no idea what I'm going to say right now. but I went to.
Do you trust her?
I went to Kono Christian School just for, like, I think half of kindergarten. It wasn't very long. And my friends there, they were bringing their Barbies to school. And my dad was still at that point as a father where he didn't know if he thought that Barbies were okay to play with or if they were, like, sinful and of the devil. And so I had Barbies, but I wasn't supposed to take them anywhere. But my friends were bringing their Barbies to school. So I was very sneaky, and I took my backpack that was all cloth, you know, and I put as many Barbies as I could stuff in there. Then I put my Barbie pink convertible in my backpack that was like this big, and my whole backpack took the shape of a Barbie convertible. And then I just put that on my back. And so I'm wearing the shape of a Barbie convertible covered with the fabric of my backpack. I was not the smartest child. And so I head out the door, and my mom is like, "Lysandra, what is in your backpack?" And I was like, nothing, because that's always the answer, is nothing. And of course, I was caught. I was busted. Well, for the next couple of weeks, maybe days, maybe weeks, I can't remember, but my backpack was checked for contraband. I was searched and frisked before I walked out the door to make sure there were no Barbies in there, okay? So that is an example of broken trust. And I had to rebuild it. So how did I rebuild that trust, even as a kindergartner? I rebuilt the trust by every day not having Barbies in my backpack. And eventually, the trust was rebuilt. So you can put that into terms of what's happening in your home with your teenagers. Hopefully, it's not as simple as that. I'm sure it's much more difficult than that. But that's an example in my life of when I personally broke trust, and I had to work to rebuild it.
But for trust to be rebuilt, it has to be worked on from both sides.
That's right.
So if you're a child in here, you're a teenager, you're a child in here, you've broken your parents' trust, like, you have to work to become trustworthy again. And you have to just understand, if you've broken trust, they're not just going to extend trust the same way again. And you have to be okay with that, because you are the one who broke trust. So you have to prove that you are a trustworthy child again. You have to prove that your parents can trust you. On the other hand, if you're the one that you're the parent, okay, and they've broken trust with you, you have to work. I have to work on extending trust again. And that's a hard thing to do. All of us in here have had somebody break our trust. So we've had to work to extend trust again. That is a hard thing to do. But it's a necessary step. So if your teen's broken your trust, then you have to be like Jesus. I have to be like Jesus. Forgive them and then give them another chance to earn trust. Something small. Okay, I'm not just telling you to give them free rein of everything. Just hand them over a phone with no parameters, whatever. No, that's not wise. Okay? But give them a safe, contained way that they can earn your trust again. And if they can do that, then you can give them a bit more trust and freedom.
That's right. And trust and freedom, you know, doesn't only come from, like, you know, parameters of curfews and such, but it can also be earned and given by responsibilities. So you can give your child or your teenager chores and responsibilities and see if they fulfill those responsibilities. So my girls don't understand this probably yet, but when I give you chores to clean the bathroom and stuff, I'm giving you opportunities for trust. So you should really be thanking me for those. So far, they have not thanked me for them. But when you give your kids these responsibilities, then you go back and you check and you say, okay, how did it go? Did the bathroom get cleaned well? Well, just recently, it was like this week, I had to leave everything as it was and call my kids back into the bathroom and say, okay, did you clean the bathroom? Yes. They should have known right there that it was a trap. They should have known.
Like, yeah, if your parents are asking you a question and you think you know the answer.
Yeah. Yeah, they already know. You're already bested, okay? So I'm like, okay, so you're telling me you cleaned the bathroom. They should have known right there that they were busted. And we did clean the bathroom. And I'm like, okay, there's like dirt in the sink. There's the cleaner's still out. The toilet's bad, real bad. And you cleaned this? Well, I didn't clean that. And I didn't clean that. Okay, so they didn't really prove themselves too trustworthy at that point. But when I pointed out the things where they hadn't done it right, they got another chance, okay? I didn't just clean the bathroom myself now. I'm giving them another opportunity to regain the trust, right? So then the second time, the bathroom was cleaned properly, okay? But sometimes that's what we have to do, is give them a little responsibility, see how what they do with it, walk them through it, okay? This is what was done well. This is what was not done well. And here's how you can do better next time. And so these are ways, these responsibilities are opportunities to also gain trust.
Yeah, and that as they gain trust, that means more freedom. And here are some areas you can bestow a little bit of trust in the form of a freedom to your teenager. Maybe give them a little clearly defined freedom in these areas and see what they do with it. Maybe it is social media. Now, our kids are not to the age yet where we allow them to be on social media. That's coming. But maybe it's in the area of television or friends, boyfriend. No, not that.
Skip that.
Girlfriends, for some of you boys, just not my daughters. Curfew, homework, phones, staying home alone, all those sorts of things are opportunities and freedoms that you can bestow to help them to be able to earn a little bit more trust. We're reminded of the story here of Joseph in Genesis 39, verse number 4. It says, Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him an overseer over his house. Okay, he made him an overseer over his house because he could trust him. He proved himself trustworthy over time. And all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer over his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. So trust is a beautiful thing. Trust makes a home life very pleasant. And I want you to stop and think about, is there an area where you need to bestow a little bit of trust in your house? Is there an area where you need to set clear boundaries and expectations? Is there a way that you can allow your teen to rebuild broken trust? Some things to work on this week.